Well, welcome back to Hope Church. Welcome to our series called Life in the Ring. Hey, I want to welcome anyone who is new with us today, online or right here in this building. Thank you so much for coming here. If you want to, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you, and let us know you're here. You can leave it right on your seat. I'll come grab it online. Check out our links. You can connect that way at our website or on our mobile app. So thank you so much. I wanted to tell you another thing here too. We've got these cool new bracelets. Hello, who's wearing a bracelet? Hold up your bracelet, yeah. All right, so hey, we're giving you some options here of how you kind of want to be treated. You grab that green bracelet and it means high hugs and high fives, all right? I got the green on, so you can come approach me after service. Boom, I'll give you a high five. You want yellow? Hey, yellow means I like talking, but not touching, okay? And that's okay. That's okay. You are fine. You have a yellow bracelet on. I'm not touching you. I ain't coming. I'll come near you, but I ain't touching you, okay? And then finally, we've got that red one, and this means, hi, I love you, but I'm social distancing, okay? So if someone has a red on, hey, don't try to give them a bear hug, all right? Don't do that, all right? You can give me a bear hug with the green, okay? And don't be trying to wear them all and say, hey, I'm distancing from you and I like you. Don't be doing that stuff. No. So, and you know, the kids, they just grabbed them up. They loved them. They're just choosing any color they want. So you might have to ask them. So, crazy stuff. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for being here. Pastor Jim and Sharon are enjoying some time away together this weekend. So they will be back here next Sunday, and Pastor Jim will be finishing up our series called Life in the Ring next week. We've been talking about how to stay in the fight. How do you stay in the fight of faith, right? My last sermon, I talked about Evander Holyfield, and he, you know, one of boxing's greatest champions. And you know, Holyfield had a long list of champions that he fought against. And you know, there was an interview with Evander Holyfield in which he was asked, who is the toughest opponent that you ever faced? You know, everybody wants to know, like, you know, the champ, like, who was hard for you to fight, you know? And so, who was the toughest opponent you had ever faced? And he knew right away, and without hesitation, he said it was a boxer named Dwight Muhammad Kawi. Now, personally, I had never heard of that guy, but he was a champion in his own right. He was a boxing champion in two different weight classes at one point in his career. Kawi was older than Holyfield. He was 33, and he was kind of on his way down in his career. And Holyfield was 24 and kind of on his way up. And when they met in the ring, it was an epic battle. You know, but out of all the great boxers that Evander Holyfield fought, he said Kawi was his toughest opponent because he was the only guy he ever went 15 full rounds with. Only guy. I mean, you can imagine, you know, you're kind of used to the bow, you know, drop, knocking guys out. In round one, round two, round three, then this guy shows up, and you got to go 15 rounds all of a sudden, right? And you got to keep punching more than you're used to, and you got to keep blocking, and you're taking hits. And there's a point at which you might start thinking, I don't know if I can last. I don't know if I can make it through this fight. So that fight will always be remembered as one that went to the last bell. And Kawi, although he lost that fight by way of decision, will always be remembered as the guy who went 15 rounds with Holyfield. And that is commendable. That is commendable. And that kind of perseverance and determination to stay in the fight, that's exactly what we need in the fight for faith. That's what we need. The truth is that not all fights end quickly, right? They don't all end fast. Some of them endure much longer than we were ever anticipating they could. And they just keep going. And that's a good thing, because God wants you to be able to make it to the final bell in life. That's what he wants for you. You know, the Bible, it's awesome. It has its own list of great champions. It's sometimes called the Hall of Faith. It's a Hall of Fame list of champions of the faith, which you can read about in Hebrews chapter 11. You should do that this week. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Now, there's a lot of people on that list. Some pretty big surprises are on that list. There's a lot of people not on that list. Maybe people that could have been on that list. But all those people, Scripture says, were still living by faith when they died, even though they didn't see the results that they were hoping for. But they fought to the final bell. They fought to the end. And so today, I just want to talk about one of those champions that's on that list. One of those champions of the faith was Noah. Noah's on that list. So, if you have your Bibles with you or your phone, you can turn to Genesis chapter 6. And while you're getting there, let me just share. A little over a week ago, I took my family to Sight and Sound Theater up in Branson, Missouri. Anyone ever been there? Incredible place. They're currently showing the live stage performance of Noah right now, and I would highly, highly recommend going if you can. It's very kid-friendly. You can, you know, buy food and bring it in, and no problems, all of that. It was spectacular to really be surrounded by Noah's Ark as they convert the entire theater into the Ark. It's incredible. I mean, what a powerful visual of God's judgment and mercy on the earth. And so right there, you're in this huge, dynamic ark. You know, most scholars agree that it took probably between 50 to 75 years to build the ark. Maybe even up to 100 years to build the ark. And Noah had to live out God's calling during that whole time. It was his own life in the ring. And that involved hard labor, vigorous struggle for many years to accomplish what God had asked him to do. And the amazing thing as well is that he did this in a world that could not have cared less about God. Scripture mentions it was a time filled with violence, immorality, and people doing whatever they wanted. And if you think some bad stuff is going on in the world right now, what must it have been like in a world where no one worshiped God anymore? That would be pretty crazy. I mean, how did that even happen? There's only 5 chapters in the Bible prior to Noah building the ark. Okay, it covers a pretty long time span, about 1,500 years of human life. But by the time we get to Noah here in Genesis 6, the world is already full of wickedness. And so it really didn't take all that long for sin and its devastating effects to engulf every human heart in the world. Truly, the world had been flooded by sin long before it was ever flooded by water. And so let's get into the story. Here's what happened. Genesis 6, verse 3, "Then the Lord said, 'My spirit will not contend with humans forever. For they are mortal, their days will be 120 years. So what does God do here? God pronounces to the world the end of the world. right? And he gives everybody the same amount of time to get things right. 120 years. That's how much life they had left. Now, God could have just sent the meteor. Boom! Right? Over. Done. He could have done that, but he didn't do that. Right? God, he allowed all men time to consider their ways. And then he finds Noah, and he lays out his plans. You got 120 years to get the job done. Okay? But in 120 years, not one person on planet Earth repented for what they had done. Not one. And so Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. All right, the mind and will of men became bent on doing evil. All the intentions in the world were for evil, were focused toward evil. Genesis 6:6, the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. And his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord actually experienced very deep sorrow over this. And it grieved his heart. It grieved him that there was no one left on the planet who cared 1 ounce about anything righteous. No one except for Noah. So God made a way for him and his family to be saved by building the ark. And you know what? He did it. Genesis 6:22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And so Noah goes down in history as one of the champions of faith found in Hebrews 11. Here it is right here, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Amen. You know, sometimes our fight in life is a lot like Noah's fight. Our fight is a call to live out a holy life and persevere till the very end, till the final bell. You know, we don't always have all the answers to what's going on in our lives. We don't know what exactly is going to happen, but what we know is what we've been called to do. During that time, we've been called to persevere. Amen? We've been called to persevere today. And perseverance means this. It means patient endurance. Patient endurance. All right? And that means, you know, being steadfast through difficulty and hardship, and overcoming obstacles in your life. And why does God call us to live that way? Why do we have to do that? You know, go through these hard things. You know, we get a little insight from Peter when he writes this in 1 Peter 3:20. I don't have this up on the board, but just listen. In 1 Peter 3:20, it says, God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. God waited patiently. Actually, in the story of Noah, what we see here is God's patient endurance with man, even in spite of their sin. And so we should never look at God and say, you know, you've been slow in keeping your promises. We shouldn't say that. What we should say is God has been patient to fulfill his promises. Amen? God's not slow like we think of it. No, he's patient. He's patient and he's merciful. And he's waiting. He's waiting for you and the world to turn to him. And here's what I want you to know today. Okay, this is what I want you to know. Listen, when we persevere, we participate in the patience of God. Okay? Let me say that again. When we persevere, we participate in the patience of God. Think about that. This is a great calling. This is a hard calling. It was never Noah's job to judge the world for their wickedness. That wasn't his job. That was God's job. It was Noah's job to do what the Father asked him to do during his time on earth. That's what Noah's job was. And that was to build a boat. That's what he had to do. And it was also Noah's job to show the world the door to salvation, which was, in this case, a literal door on the side of a boat, so big that even an elephant could walk through it. It was huge. And so could anybody who wanted to be saved. And so could any family who wanted to be saved. But in 120 years, nobody did. Nobody walked through that door. It's through that kind of obedience and by perseverance that God's plans were brought to completion. And listen, the enemy came up one family short of complete human destruction through sin. One family short. He got all the rest of them. But one family God could work through. One family. And you know what that tells me? That even if your family is the last family on earth still holding on to faith in God, he will come through for you. Even if you're the last family member in your family holding on to faith in God, he will come through for you. Amen? He uses lives that persevere. And here's why this is so relevant for today. All right? The end of the world, as we know it, is a hot topic. Right? It's always talked about throughout the generations. It seems to come up over and over again, and it comes back into view when Jesus comes on the scene and people begin to ask him, when will all these things happen? When will the end come? And listen to what Jesus says to answer that question. Matthew chapter 24, 36 and 37. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now listen to this, verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah. That's a pretty profound statement right there. What was it like in the days of Noah? Man, it was wicked. It was evil. It was godless. It was immoral. It was self-focused. It was a self-righteous society. And every intent of the heart was bent on evil. So think about this with me. As we approach the return of our Savior, the days will become more and more like the days of Noah. You can count on that. You just can't live like that. Amen? Was it a sudden and swift end to the world? Yes, it was for those who were perishing. But to Noah, it was a much longer wait, right? It was a life of faith and perseverance to the very end. He experienced it much differently than the rest of the world. Life was going on normal for those who didn't care about God, but for Noah, he was busy being steadfast in accomplishing what God asked him to do. And God called Noah to participate in his patience. And he did it in this way because Noah's Ark was about much more than Noah. It was about now. It was about now. Because this story was a foreshadowing of how God would eventually offer salvation to you and me. Noah's door was literally the only way to salvation before the flood came. The only way. And this reminds us today that there is still only one door to salvation. One door to walk through. And the way we walk through it is by following Jesus Christ and accepting Him into your life. Amen? And our job is the same as Noah's job. Not to build a boat, all right? But our job is the same as Noah's job. We're not here to judge the souls of men. We're here to show them the door to salvation as we await our Savior. Amen? Amen. I'm going to invite the band to come back up, or Jonathan. There's a few things I want you to remember, okay, as we close this down, as the singers get ready to sing. Listen, don't let the enemy tempt you to give up. Don't let the enemy tempt you to give up now. Okay? You can make it to the final bell. Stay in the fight. Make it to the end. God has a plan. All right? And if you feel like maybe you're one of the people who's drowning in sin and you're far off from God, then let me tell you this. If you're still alive today, you got up this morning, you have another opportunity to be rescued by His patience and mercy. Amen? You can do that by accepting Jesus into your heart. Noah lived a life worthy of what he was called to do. He fixed his eyes and his heart on God and carried out his assignment until the very end, until the final bell. And I pray that for you today, in your fight for faith, in your life in the ring, I pray that would be true for you. And I just want to read one more scripture. Here's what the Bible tells us to do. 2 Corinthians 4:16. I have part of it up here, but let me read it all. 16 through 18, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal." Amen. Amen. Pray quick. Then we're going to worship. One more song. So grateful, Father. We're so grateful for your patience and your mercy. Lord, we've all failed in some way. We've all had wrong intentions, God. But let our intentions turn to to you, Lord. Let our desires reflect your heart. God, and help us out of that flood. Help us out of that flood of sin. You're reaching out to us, Lord. All we have to do is respond. Walk through that door and experience your great mercy.